Hi, everybody. Welcome to SEND Network's ongoing Training for Trainers resource. Thanks for joining us on our journey to learn together how to make your transformational training even better. We want to encourage and empower you to keep growing in your confidence and competence as a trainer. Now, here are the hosts for today.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rick Duncan with SEND Network Training, and we want to thank you as a trainer of church planters for listening to the podcast and for training church planters. We really appreciate it. With me here today is my co-host, and that is Peyton Jones out on the West Coast. So, Peyton, how you doing today? What's happening with you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm getting ready to get back in my house, which has had no hot water, no gas, and we've moved the gas mains, the electricity, and the power. So, I'm feeling like my life fell apart just enough for me to be ready to church plant again.
So when that house comes back together, that's like D-Day for church planting, right?
That's right, man. They're going to hit the shores, man, and their Amtraks, and you know, drop the front of those hovercrafts, and we're ready to go, man. We're going to take the beach, and I live right next to the beach, so that's a good analogy.
Yeah, good. So with us today, we have Jason, Raiden, and Mike. These are guys that are doing some great work for Jesus in the St. Louis, Missouri area. So, guys, introduce yourself to us a little bit. We'll start with Jason, then we'll go with Raiden, then we'll go to Mike.
Yeah, I'm Jason Zelmer, and I just want to say thanks for having me on today. So I've been a part of church planting for about 15 years now. We planted our first church in 2005 in St. Charles, right outside of St. Louis, and then planted again in 2010, and just this year, on April 1st, Easter Sunday, we launched our third church, and have really just seen God work. Have been a trainer with SEND Network Training for almost 2 years now, leading our second cohort, and in my spare time, I'm also the director of a ranch, a big kind of Christian retreat center that's about 30 minutes outside of St. Louis.
Wow, thank you. How about you, Raiden?
Yep, I'm Raiden Hollis, and planted a church here in Edwardsville, Illinois, in the St. Louis Metro East. And this is my first cohort to do any training with. I also am on the care team for the St. Louis SEND Network, and a huge heart to see churches planted, because I think it's the best way to reach a local community is with a local church. So I want to see more and more planted. I'm glad to be part of it.
Yeah, thank you. And Mike?
Yes, sir. My name is Mike Woodymore. I'm new to church planting. We've planted here in Belleville, Illinois, which is in the metro east of St. Louis, just about 20 minutes from downtown. And this is my first time just planting a church and being a part of this incredible community. And I'm not new to ministry. This is the start of my 16th year in full-time pastoral ministry. But boy, church planting is a beast all of its own. And so grateful to be a part of it. And I'm honored to be a part of today. And the hope is that this would be an encouragement to those guys that are investing into guys that, like me, are new to this whole thing.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, hey, thanks for being on the front lines, man. And no pressure. You know, Jason's on his third church plant. So it's like, hey, when are you going to plant your third church? Let's go. What's wrong with
you? Yeah, I hear you, man. I'm only in week 5 of my first one, so I need a little bit.
All right, well, we'll cut you just a little bit of slack then.
Appreciate that.
Thank you. Well, it's just taken me 3 times to get it right, and it still isn't right. So.
Now, Mike, as a person being trained, you may not understand. We have 12 training techniques that we use in our training. And so the trainer's guide that these guys are working off of, it kind of helps you know, okay, I'm supposed to use a scenario right now or design analysis right now and that type of thing. But what are some of the training tools or techniques that you've noticed that they've used that have helped you and helped other people in the cohort just learn a little bit better, engage more deeply?
Yeah, I really like the nature of collaboration that they've integrated into what we do. And so there's 3 other guys that are part of my cohort. And so we're constantly engaging with each other. Oftentimes we'll all participate in an exercise individually, and then we have to kind of, you know, group up and then walk through with a volunteer, kind of critique or encourage or kind of help break down the work that one person has done. So I've seen the directed teaching time. I've seen the time for collaboration. I've seen the time where we can just you know, man, grade ourselves and work through with some honest reflection. And those have all been very, very helpful. I look forward to the fact that I'm not just for the 4.5 or 5 hours that we're together or whatever that is, that I'm not just sitting and listening and just taking notes, but there's a time to hear from us. There's a time for us to hear from them. It's been very, very beneficial to have these multiple techniques, I think, used in our cohort sessions.
If you guys, Jason and Raiden, could talk a little bit about some of your favorite techniques, what are the ones that you use that you find most encouraging to you, most helpful to you as a trainer?
One of my favorites is definitely group coaching. I think in group coaching, I remember a cohort that I was a part of before Mike's cohort, and we had a guy that was in the Go cohort that was planting, and it kind of became clear through some of our time in group coaching that he was a big Soma guy, and he had kind of just ripped off his vision and his values and everything from a church that he really liked and wanted to kind of just do that. And as he explained to us his context and really his heart, it just became clear to the whole group, probably even before it came clear to him, that his whole vision frame, you know, vision, values, mission, wasn't really aligned with being a church for his city and reaching his context. And so through group coaching, that kind of got deconstructed in a really humble and gracious way, to the point where he eventually realized, I got to go back to the drawing board and completely start over. And so just seeing how God used multiple voices and coaching to kind of help lead him through that process was pretty encouraging. And so that's a big one for me. Another one, I just love story. And so being able to, you know, share stories through, you know, that is just, it's one of my favorite things, and being able to hear stories too.
That's good. How about you, Raiden?
Yeah, I was going to say group coaching. So hat tip to Jay-Z. It's fun to stand back as a trainer and watch these guys take over the room and really go after each other as they fight for clarity. We talk a lot about fighting for clarity in everything that we're doing. So I love the group coaching piece. I love strategic narratives. I like thinking about the stories of my own life and how can I use those to make something, to make a competency really visible, or to make a nugget of truth really visible to the guys in the room. And I also love the brainstorming, because it's an unexpected training technique. A lot of the guys come into training thinking, all I'm going to do is sit for 4 hours and take notes. And when you begin saying, nope, come on, we got to come up with more on the board. And you're writing as fast as you can write. And all of a sudden they're engaging in a new way in the content. It's fun to see them come up with all kinds of off the wall things that you're going to put on this tear sheet. So I really enjoy the brainstorming as well.
Let me ask you guys, what are some of the ones that you found more challenging? And let me kind of put a little spin on this question. You know, we hear a lot about life hacks, right? You want to hear life hacks for almost everything. Is there anything that you've learned from maybe a technique that, it's not really your favorite, you know, you got a little life hack, something that kind of was a breakthrough for you where you went, man, that really helped me kind of learn to master that technique?
I know one for me, and I think Peyton, you know, talking to Charles, that you and I are both similar in this, but I remember the first time that I led through the training, and it was a directive teaching where, you know, there's three things, or there's five things, or there's seven things that we want to communicate. And I think because I really didn't want to miss any of the material that we needed to communicate through directive teaching, that I really hung, you know, really close to my notes there. And that's not natural for me, because I'm much more of a no notes, kind of just go communicator. And so I've had to learn how to just, you know, kind of process, all right, here's the three things, but to be able to just step back once I have those in my mind and communicate them in my own way, I found has not only been more engaging for the guys, but I think a lot easier for me as a communicator to be able to convey those same thoughts, but to be able to do it in my own way.
So sometimes do you take the points themselves and recast them in Jay-Z language? Is that what you do?
Yep, I think that's part of it. Yep, or maybe an example that's given there. I have something that is more unique to my story. So it may be a very similar thing, but different, and I can say it in my own way. I think that's it. Still same idea, still same concept, but just kind of communicated in my own language.
Yeah. So it's kind of like I'm going off script, but I'm not going off script.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah.
So I want to mention two here and say that I've actually learned them by observing them in Jay-Z, who is a tremendous trainer, and I really feel privileged to be able to be a co-trainer with him. And the first one is this, that inside of the strategic narratives, Jay-Z is almost never the hero of the story. He's not usually the villain of the story, but it's usually a story about failure or brokenness or struggle rather than showing how he did something the right way perfectly each time he steps into the strategic narrative. And I think what that does is it makes the narrative more accessible. Mm-hmm. So the guys in the room don't look at the trainer and go, I'm never going to be as good as that guy is. The guys in the room listen to the narrative and they go, oh, I've made that mistake, or I was actually just about to make that mistake and I don't want to experience what he experienced. So I'm going to try something different from that. Another one is the catch-up time. When we start the training, Jay-Z did something a couple of weeks ago that I did not know where he was going. Mike just launched his church in Belleville on October 7th. Way to go, Whitney Moore. And so Jay-Z sets up a tournament bracket, is drawn on the board when we get in there. And I'm like, I don't know what this is. I haven't seen the Sweet 16 in any of our materials. And Jay-Z says, we're going to brainstorm a list of the worst possible things that could happen on launch Sunday. And so we did a brainstorm session and built a bracket. And then we in 5 minutes, we voted on the very worst possible thing that could possibly happen to you on launch Sunday. And as we're wrapping it up, and this is right before Mike is going to launch, as we're wrapping it up, Jay-Z gives this beautiful, just directive teachings saying, even if all the things on the board happen to you, what matters is that you are a beloved son of the King of the universe. Wow. And nothing will ever change that. And it was such a sweet and powerful moment. And it was a reminder to me again that one of the first characteristics, one of the first traits of a great trainer is that he actually loves the guys in the room, not generically loves planters, but specifically loves the men who are gathered in that room with him. And Jay-Z's done a great and consistent job of demonstrating that.
Oh, that is sweet. That is really sweet. So what Mike, was the absolute worst thing that you guys came up with that would happen to you? Or that could happen to you?
Man. There was a lot of options on that board. I don't know that I can quite remember the top one, and if I could remember it, I don't know that it necessarily might be something I want to share. But
that's true.
you could have something as terrible as an enemy coming in and having an active shooter situation, or you could have no one show up, or you could have, I mean, every extreme you can think about. But at the end of the day, no matter what bad could possibly happen, it doesn't change who I belong to. That was such an encouraging truth.
Well, what I love about this is that's not scripted, but you're leveraging a technique in a creative way,
right?
And utilizing that to pastor and shepherd one of our planters. So how did that impact your soul, Mike?
Oh, man. I got to be honest. I'm a pretty sentimental guy and nostalgic and fairly emotional. And so that leading up to the week leading up to planting was a very, very tough week. It was just stressful and a lot of anxiety getting to that launch Sunday was it was pretty exhausting. And then knowing that we've got this cohort session kind of leading up to that, and just before we get into any of the material, to just stop and just be reminded of that was so refreshing, because it's something that I intuitively know, but really failed to practice and lean into. And that's what I'm talking about. That's what makes Jay-Z an incredible trainer, is because he has this ability through humility to just speak a word of truth that gave me great pause. It gave me an opportunity to catch my breath. And honestly, it allowed me to relax and to be trained so that I wasn't, you know, worrying about, well, what about this? And what about this? And how are we going to get this done? And instead of just being reminded. And so, man, I got to walk into launch Sunday with an incredible sense of peace that I honestly, I'm telling it, man, that sometimes I can get worried about numbers and who's in the room and stuff like that. But I didn't have one consideration or one concern for how many people were going to show up or who was going to be in the room. I just knew that we were going to launch this church and God was still going to be God. And I was still going to be his son. And that was, man, that was just a gift. That was just an absolute gift. And I took that gift and shared it with our team on launch Sunday, that no matter who walks in this, this building here in just a few minutes, it's not going to change. It's not going to change who's you are.
So what have you learned for your leadership, Mike, from kind of watching how Jason and Raiden have done this training? Have you begun to incorporate some of these methods, techniques and so forth in some of your leadership?
Absolutely. The one thing that I have really learned from their leadership in this is that we don't do this alone. And just watching how these two guys who have different backgrounds and different experiences work together to create this incredible teaching opportunity has given me really a courage and a fire to, you know, for the team that I'm planting with to take this information. You know, they don't get to sit in a room. They don't get to hear all this or see all this. They just get to see my Evernote, you know, file, and they get to see all these things I've kind of frantically typed in, and they don't know what any of that means. But we've had several evenings of just late nights with me, you know, doing the Charles Campbell approach to sticky notes and, you know, drawing them out and then relaying this information back to the team that I'm planting with, and just watching that, man, create a fire in them. And the information is invaluable. And then taking it back and being able to apply it and work through it and have your team tell you what you're not doing a good job at and what you are doing a good job at is, it's humbling, but it's necessary.
So what keeps you growing, Jason, Raiden? What keeps you growing in your confidence and competence as trainers?
Raiden, you want to go first?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of it is feeling the weight of the call to train guys, you know, to know that this is the front line of mission in the kingdom of God, and understanding the burden of that. Number one, drive through my knees pretty regularly, knowing that these guys are going out and they're going to try to implement the things that I've been talking about with them, drives me to my knees regularly. Number two, I'm trying to observe. I'm watching Jay-Z. He's a tremendous trainer, so I'm watching him do training. Every chance I get to listen to the podcast here, to observe Charles Campbell or other guys doing their training, I'm watching what they're doing. Every time I'm in any kind of a meeting, I take two columns of notes. One is just straight notes on the sermon or the meeting or whatever's happening. The other column is I'm evaluating the presenter. How would I have done it differently? What if I was his coach, how would I coach him? So I'm consistently trying to apply the techniques in those kinds of ways. And then I'm always on the hunt for good materials to just improve particular pieces. So I'm currently on the hunt for good materials on how to improve my handwriting with markers, because I tend to have really sloppy handwriting and I want my words to be legible. So those are some of the things that I'm doing. As far as the development of confidence, for me, that comes through specific pieces of information. And so I invite Jay-Z, he invites me. If there's something I can do better, I want to be coached along the way. So we're trying to develop some rhythms for each other of, you know, watching this, like what you were talking about, Peyton, watch this particular aspect. I think that's something, as you say, I think that's something I can improve on, actually, is saying, take a look at a specific piece of what I'm doing tonight and coach me on that. But Jay-Z and I have developed a great friendship where we speak into each other really regularly as well.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, I would say for me, one of the things that really helps to keep me fresh and just to keep growing really is trying to take the content that Raiden and I are training in, and then to be able to directly apply that to my context. so that, you know, when, you know, we first planted, the SEND Network training wasn't around. I mean, we didn't get any training other than, you know, just kind of, hey, here's a pamphlet and here's a pat on the back and good luck. And so for me, as we've led through the training, I've recognized a lot of my own mistakes in planting, and I've also seen some things that I need to go back and change. And so it's really been invaluable for me to be training these guys as I'm planting myself, because I'll you know, use, going back to what Mike was talking about the vision frame and how helpful that can be. In the vision frame, you know, in the churches that we've been a part of planting before, we've had our mission nailed down, we had our values nailed down, but we've never really thought deeply about both strategy and especially measures. And, you know, being able to identify how are we going to know when we're successful. And that's a pretty important deal, but nobody ever taught me that we should do that. And so, man, we got our vision and values and mission, but where are we going and how are we going to know when we get there? And so as we're planting right now, this is the first church plant that we've been a part of, where we're really nailing down what are our measures and how are we going to know when we're successful, and communicating those in a broad way. And I've learned that as I've been training and through the training. And I think it's helping me to become a better trainer, because it's not only information that we're trying to distill into these other guys, but I think both Raiden and I, because we're both planting right now, are actually trying to practice what we're preaching. And I think it's helped us to grow as trainers, because then we can speak not only from successes, but also from failures as we're moving along with them.
Hey, Mike, obviously we've got some guys that are in the SEND Network training system simply because I have to do it to get the paycheck from the North American Mission Board. And it doesn't sound like you're that guy. You're not that guy that's just going through the motions. They've already talked about how you are taking notes of everything that everybody's saying. What would you say to the planter out there who is just tempted to go through the training, to go through the motions, to get the check from the North American Mission Board?
I think that's probably one of the most foolish decisions a person could make. Not only has the SEND Network worked very hard to put together quality training material so that you can grow and be successful in what you're doing, but they've also provided you a tremendous opportunity to meet and connect with other guys as you go through it. And so to turn a deaf ear to that and just kind of go through the motions, I think not only is it dishonoring, but I think it's also an act of arrogance. And listen, I've been doing ministry for a while, and I've done it in large churches and small churches. And I know that every single day of my life is an opportunity to learn something so that I can be the most effective at what God's called me to do. And so if the Lord's going to drop this incredible opportunity in my lap to learn and grow, and then to not utilize that, is it's a pretty big mistake. And I think that's one that the Lord's not going to necessarily honor. And I would say to those folks that this training has provided two things for me that have been invaluable. One is clarity. Raiden talked about this earlier, that the fight for clarity is so critical. And the best gift that I can be given and the best gift that I can give is clarity. Clarity around what it means to plant a church, clarity about what it means to follow Jesus. Clarity is the ultimate gift a leader can give anyone. And so when I have it, it's a tremendous blessing. And so I've been given that in this process. I don't have everything all figured out, and we've still got many difficult days ahead, but I have clarity now that I did not have when I walked into this. All we knew is we wanted to plant this church in the city of Belleville. We had an idea and a heart for what that could look like. But this training has really given words and language and legs to it. And so I've been given clarity. And secondly, man, it's brotherhood. Like I have no doubt that both Raiden and Jason love me. They love our team. They love our families. They're deeply concerned about what happens in the city of Belleville with regard to planting a church there. And I believe that. I believe the other guys in my cohort love me and care about me and want to see me be fruitful in this venture as well. And so, man, I would not have that brotherhood. I would not have these relationships. I would not have guys that I could turn to apart from this training. So I think for a guy to just get through it Man, I think that's arrogant. I think it's foolish.
Thank you guys for your creativity. Thank you guys for displaying honor. Thank you for your passion, your diligence, your preparation, the concept of brotherhood, love, and humility. All of that, I'm just feeling it strongly. And you know, Mike is a testimony of the change that he's experienced because of who you are, Jason, and who you are, Raiden. And I thank you, Mike. You display those things as well. So you guys are indeed trainers that we can learn from. So thank you, thank you, thank you for doing that.
Thanks for having us on the podcast today.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
God bless you guys. I'm sure we'll be talking soon.
Yep. All right. Take care.
Thanks for listening today. Our mission at Send Network Training is to equip multiplying leaders with reproducible systems to plant more healthy churches. You can follow us on Twitter at Send Network Trainers or on Facebook at Send Network Church Planter Trainers. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. This podcast was made possible by the Send Network of the North American Mission Board.